Praise God. We are live. Praise God. And we are yet alive in the land of the living and glad about it. Praise God and excited about the word of God tonight. You're joining us on Facebook. Go ahead and hit the button to share it on your page. Please excuse me. I didn't realize it was quite that dark over here. But go ahead and hit the button so that you can share it on your page. I am delighted to have the opportunity to introduce our teacher for tonight. He is the Reverend Robert Hickey Sr., and we thank God so much for him. He is a valued member of our team here at Trinity, and we're excited about the word of God that we're going to receive tonight. So get ready for the word, and with no further ado, I present to you Reverend Robert Hickey Sr.
All glory and honor to God. Good evening, saints of God in the family of Trinity and eternal kingdom, brothers and sisters all throughout the globe. We greet you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. I'm excited and privileged to be with you this evening. Always privileged to be used by the Lord. I want him to use me until he uses me up. We have been walking with the Lord through the book of Haggai. And Haggai is the first of the post-exile prophets to come. He left exile to come to Jerusalem. To do God's work, to do God's will. And I've been so blessed to be able to walk through this book with the Lord. I encourage everyone, and particularly teachers and preachers and pastors, to just go in deep with Haggai. There's far too much for a little pea brain like mine to pull out of all of this. But Haggai will bless you. It's filled with gems, filled with nuggets. And it's that opportunity to spend time with Lord in really a good setting. It starts off a little rough, but the Israelites hear God's word and they obey. They come into agreement with God. They amen God. Haggai is a very unique prophet. He only preached four sermons. That's all the Lord lets us know about his preaching. And he does it four sermons in 4 months. And so just a quick recapitulation. We've already gone through Haggai's first sermon, which was all of chapter one. And in Haggai's sermon in chapter one, verses 1 through 15, he lets us know the time period. He lets us know that it's the next slide, please. He gives us a time frame. He lets us know that it's the sixth month, the first day. So this is his initial sermon, the sixth month, the first day. He preaches to the administrative, the gubernatorial and priestly leaders. He preaches first to Zerubbabel, the governor, and Joshua, the priest. Then God lets us see clearly here. God always goes to the leaders first. And the leaders are held accountable. And in his message to the leaders, that also is the same message he gives to the parishioners, but he gives it to the leaders because it's the leader's job to see to it that the word of God, the will of God goes forth to the people. And then after preaching to them, then he preaches to them and the people. And in his sermons, just some of the points I can't revisit and recapture them all, but his style in all throughout is he poses questions to them. And he asks them to consider your ways. And we'll deal more with that word, but that word considered in Hebrew is wumu. And it means to place, to set, to define, to establish. What God is asking people to do, he's saying, you need to set yourself, you need to place yourself up relative to your relationship with me. Are you where you need to be with me? And so the leaders and the people, they respond. They say, yes, Lord. Now, you have to understand, they've been recalcitrant now for like 16 years. They haven't touched the foundation of the temple 16 years, but they heard God's sermon from God's man, and they believe God. They heard and they went into dutiful obedience. So the leaders respond, and God does something that we always are seeking. We're always praying for revival. God quickens their spirit. That's revival, saints of God. Revival is just not a date on the calendar. Revival is and only is when God and his people connect and he quickens their spirits and they become not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. So he quickens their spirit, revival takes place. And on the 24th of that same month, the sixth month, the people go to work. His second sermon is housed in second chapter of Haggai, verses 1-9. And now it's the seventh month, the 21st day, and Haggai preaches to the leaders and the lay together in this message. And again, his style is, God has him to ask questions. And when God asks questions, I told you previously, the God's questions are always rhetorical and heuristic. They always are just using rhetoric because he's wanting you to start considering things. And they're heuristic because in your consideration, you need to be setting your place with God. You need to be understanding where you are with God. Are you in or are you out? So God says, again, consider your ways. And then because of this message and because they have agreement, they have an amen relationship with God, God tells them to go to work. Now, I really meant to say this early on. It keeps blowing my mind, saints of God, particularly Trinityites, that God would have us walking through this passage at this time. Since we're celebrating a week from this Sunday, 101 years, God's hand of grace and mercy and blessings over Trinity and God's house in Trinity in need of repair, just as the temple at 520 BC was in need of repair. It's not by happenstance, saints. It's not by coincidence. Your hearing from God at this time is really identical to the hearing that the Jerusalemites dealt with and had to deal with 520 BC, 2,500 years ago. God's amazing like that. He is so interactive in our lives. So God says, go to work, and the people go to work. And because they've been revived, because they're obedient, because they're willing to go to work, God says, I am with you. I am with you. When we go with God, that's something we can count on, that he will be with us. He has to, because that's his covenant promise. Amen. And then God tells them something else that gives me chills as I'm rethinking and recalling it. God says, I'm going to shake the nations. You know, everyone and everything belongs to God. God says he's going to shake the nations. And I look at today, if you just turned off the 7 o'clock news or the 6:30 news, it's profoundly before our eyes and ears every day that God is shaking the nations. There is nothing happening without God. I'm going to say that again. There's nothing happening without God. And then in this second sermon, after he's there quickened and he's loving on them and he's telling them he's going to shake the nations, he's going to make the enemies their footstools, then he promises them, he said, in a little while, it's going to be coming to you the greatest temple. He said he's sending the desire of the nations. And you know who that is from my study last week. The desire of the nations is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And he's the desire of the nations because God told us last week that everything people desire is in Jesus Christ. Your peace is in him. Your joy is in him. Your sanity is in him. Your salvation is in him. Your relationships are in him. Your love is in him. Your hope, everything that people desire can only be obtained through Jesus Christ. But check this out, saints. God, he says in a little while, he's going to send the greatest temple, the desire of the nations, Jesus Christ. And I was just crunching some numbers. That's just my natural bent. Now, this is 520 BC. So that little while was 500 years. So that's what time means to the Lord. That's why we can't take it for granted because we count the minutes and stuff, and none of that means anything to the Lord. Next slide, please. All right, now we did sermons 1 and 2 independently, and so we did one each week. This evening, Lord, say the same, we're going to do sermons 3 and 4, and they're housed in Haggai 2:10-23. First, I'm going to read the text because it's important. On the 24th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priests concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be clean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Next slide, please. Verse 14, then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord. And so is every work of their hands. And what they offer there is unclean. And now, carefully consider from this day forward, from before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail in all the labors of your hands. Yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now, from this day forward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? And yet the vine, fig trees, the pomegranate, and the olive trees have not yielded fruit. From this day, I will bless you. Next slide, please. And again, this is sermon 4. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring. I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. Our Father and our God, your humble servant, is open and available to you, Lord. Give me boldness, give me utterance, give me enablement to proclaim, to unfold, to illuminate, to deliver the unadulterated, but illuminated mystery of your gospel, Lord. And let me do that boldly, as I ought. Lord, let me be pleasing in your ears and in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Next slide, please. Sermon number 3. The Lord marks this day. He lets us know that this is the 24th day of the 9th month. In the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying. Now, when we started, sermon 1 was on the first day of the 6th month and ended on the 24th day of the 6th month. Sermon 2 began in the 7th month on the 21st day. Now, here we are in sermon 3. It's the 9th month. So this is 4 months that Haggai has been preaching. And I need to mention as well, he's not preaching alone. He's actually tag teaming. Zechariah, the book following, he is preaching at this same time to these same people. But Haggai only preaches, as recorded in God's holy word, these 4 months. Zechariah continues to preach and preaches a few years, but this remarkable Haggai, he preaches 4 sermons. 1 in the 6th month, 1 in the 7th month. And on this day, the 24th day of the 9th month, he does what every now and then the Lord has all of us preachers do. We preach 2 sermons. We don't always intend to, but sometimes we preach 2 sermons. In one instance. So this is the 24th day of the 9th month, and this is sermon number 3 for Haggai. The Lord has Haggai preaching, and Haggai says, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priests concerning the law, saying, if one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? Then the priest answered and said, no. And Haggai said, if one who is unclean because of a dead body touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Ooh. Well, first and foremost, Haggai is obedient to the Lord. And so he does what the Lord tells him to do. Now, mind you, Haggai is a prophet. Now, in today's culture, someone of his standing and not totally obedient to God might have a little problem with having to ask someone else questions that they already had answers to, or persons who position-wise may have been not necessarily lesser, but not in their same ilk. But he obeys God. And also, we get a lot of lessons. There's so many church dynamics in this text that it's a study that you can't really do in a month, maybe even in a year, because God has, and it appears that Haggai has no problem with staying in his lane and respecting and honoring the lanes of the priests. He is a respecter of persons and positions. And so he has no problem obeying God. And he goes and asks the priests, whether he knew the answers or not, we don't know. But he, after all, he is a prophet. But he went to the priest because teaching the people is the priest's responsibility. So he does what the Lord tells him to do. Now, before we venture into any more of his honoring the responsibilities, we'll get to that. I believe it's a slide or two down. Here's what I need to, it's not really even a sidebar. It's something that I don't know if any other of you have felt fully comfortable and confident in understanding holy and sanctification and those things. But this was really uplifting and enlightening for me. He asked the priest what the Lord tells him to ask about holiness. Now, saints of God, it always has been somewhat of a mystery to me. And now I'm at peace because I understand better now than ever before in my adult life why holiness, I don't have an absolute complete grasp of. And so if you look at that bullet point, the mystery of holiness. Well, in my studies and in my preparation for this teaching, I was amazed to find that when you look in theological dictionaries, and I looked in at least four of them, two of them didn't even have a definition for holiness. They do define sanctification, but they didn't define holiness. But in the ISBE, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, this brother whose name I'll give credit for later on, he took me on a path of enhancing my understanding and why I was right in viewing holiness as not as being beyond my understanding. So let's start here before we go to the next slide. What he brought to my attention that particularly in the Old Testament, it is more apparent about the moral and ethical aspect of holiness in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, he argues and he convinced me that there are two aspects of holiness. There's the formal or ritual, and then there's the second, the moral and the ethical. Now, particularly in the churches that I've been a member of, we think we have a pretty good understanding of the moral and the ethical, and I think we do. We know that, but I didn't understand the formal and the ritual, and how he explains the formal and the ritual. And as soon as I read this, we'll go to that next slide. I wrote this down. Holy is God. God is holy. I'm gonna say that again. Holy is God, and God is holy. And that's why we can't completely wrap our minds around holiness, because to be able to totally wrap your mind around holiness, you'd have to be able to wrap your mind around God. Holiness is God, and God is holiness. Next slide. He did this word study. I think I put the brother's name on this slide. I need to give him credit, but oh yeah, Harris Franklin. I do philologies all the time, but I'm using his. The root word for holy is kadash. It means to be hallowed, holy, sanctified, to consecrate, sanctify, prepare, dedicate. That's the root word for all of these words. So we can never use any of these words totally independent of one another. They're all compacted in. Remember, holiness is God, and God is holiness. And so all of these theological terms and biblical terms are packed in to this root, holiness, all of them. Hallowed, holy, sanctified, to concentrate, sanctify, prepare, dedicate. That is holy. And also Kodesh, which is the word in this text, when God is using the term holy, it's Kodesh. Now, listen to the differences. And there were several others for lack of time. The nuances between even the pronunciation is so delicate that unless you're skilled in the language, you won't even pick it up. But the root is Kodesh. Holy in this text is Kodesh. And it means apartness, holiness, sacredness, sanctify. Okay, so exactly the same usage is shown with the word sanctify. In fact, that's what the brother had to do, Brother Harris. Brother Hall, I'm sorry, he actually ended up defining holy, like the others wouldn't even try, but he ended up defining holy by defining sanctification. We do get a better grasp of sanctification because of its second part, the moral and ethical part. But he still wrestles, and I'll be wrestling, but it's so interesting. Anyway, to sanctify means commonly to make holy. That is to separate from the world and to consecrate God. Haggai is a prophet, but respects the position and anointing of the priest. The priests are responsible for informing the people. Malachi 2:7 says, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And you know that host in the Hebrew means he's the Lord of all armies. He's the Lord of everybody, the sinners, the saints, the good, the bad, those who love him, those who hate him. He's still the Lord over them all. Yeah, so let's get back to the question. He asked the priest, if I got holy meat tucked in my apron, but my apron touches other food, will it make it the other food holy? And the priest rightfully say, no. Saints, God's holiness is non-transferable. It's non-transferable because holiness is singular and is isolated to God. Since he is holy and he is God, only he can impute holiness. So you can't get to heaven off of mama and papa and grandma's holiness. You can't get to heaven because you rub shoulders with the pastor. Everybody has to have their own personal relationship with God. their own personal holy relationship with God. Now, interestingly enough, when he asked the other question to the priest, he said, if a man is unclean after having touched a dead body,
yes,
can he touch anything and it become clean, or will everything he touches be unclean? And they say, yeah. Holiness is only God's domain and purview. Evil, however, is transferable. I would even submit that evil is contagious. Social scientists will tell you about the group mentality. And you know why evil is contagious? Well, we talked about it in the sermon 2. We went back to Genesis 3:15. We need to always remember, saints, and we need to never forget that we live in a fallen world. We are living in a cursed earth and heaven. That's why God's creating new heavens and a new earth. We are in a cursed situation, and God redeemed us out of this cursed situation to reconcile us back to him. So the blessings only come with reconciliation. So evil perpetuates itself. I always used to preach and teach that unrepented sin has babies. And God validates that, because he says for unrepented sins that it passes on to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate him. Evil is contagious, but holiness is only of God. So we know holiness is not transferable. Everybody got to get on, got to have their own experience, their own encounter, their own surrender, their own submission to the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And then in this text, thank you. Next slide. You got it there, and I wasn't even aware. In this slide here, God says, so this people and so this nation before me says, the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer there is unclean. And now carefully consider this day forward. From before stone was laid upon stone in the temple of the Lord, since those days when one came to a heap of 20 ephahs, there were but 10. When one came to the wine vat to draw out 50 ephahs, 50 baths from the press, there were but 20. I struck you with blight and mildew and hail and all the labors of your hands, yet you did not turn to me, says the Lord. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day, I will bless you. Here, the Lord in sermon 3, just as in sermons 1 and 2, he poses the questions. He tells them, consider your ways. And you can see what he means by that word sumu. I told you, he's telling them, you need to put in place, you need to appoint, you need to make, you need to set your relationship with me. You need to set in your mind and in your lifestyle, in your thinking and in your belief, who I am. who I am and whose you are. You need to set, you need to appoint, you need to establish me, because I am who I am. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the bright and morning star. I am exalted. I am all powerful. I am all knowing. I am all seeing. I own everyone and I own everything. You need to put yourself in understanding, in reflection, and in obedience. You need to be in place. And if I'm not your King of Kings and your Lord of Lords, if I'm not your ruler, if I'm not your leader, you are out of place. Now, since these saints are revived and the leaders are revived, and he has taken them back in remembrance of why they were in lack. He not only shook the nations, he shook them. He told them, what else? I did all these things to you and you still wouldn't obey me. However, now, since you obeyed me, you went to work, I revived you, and I believe your understanding is better now. It says, but from this day forward, I will bless you. I believe that's what's happening post-pandemic at Trinity and in all of God's houses. I believe God's shaking the nations is certainly awakening the saints of God to a point and a place of revival. And firmly believe that he's waking even those who have been lost to his awesomeness, his power, his excellence, his majesty. He's our all in all. The next slide, please. We just finished sermon number 3. And now we walk into sermon number 4. In sermon number 3, he preached to the priests.
Yes.
Told them if they do their job, continue to fulfill their roles and responsibility, he's going to bless them. Now we're in sermon number 4. This is also the same day, the 24th day of the 9th month. And here's the sermon God gives him. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant. Ooh, that's the greatest title. That's the greatest title man can ever have, is to be God's servant. The son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. My. He preached to the priest, and now he's preaching to the governor, the administrator. What a sermon. Every saint of God, let alone a preacher, a teacher, or a pastor, wants God to speak to them in an exhortation like this. He exhorts him. He lets him know that he's going to shake the nations for him. simply because he's God's servant. He has been chosen by God.
Yes.
Says the Lord of hosts. Yes. He exhorts him. I wasn't there, but I don't know how Zerubbabel could stand or sit when Almighty God, when the exalted Lord gives you a promise like this.
Yes.
He said, not only had he chosen him and that he gave him this greatest title of titles, servant of the Lord.
Yes.
On top of that title, he said he's gonna make him like a signet ring. In this time, and even many years, even up to the turn, even in this in the AD era, mighty kings, mighty rulers had these seals. Sometimes it would be a cylindrical thing that they would put their stamp, and anything they put their stamp on was done, was power, was authority. And some of them would even have that sign, that seal on their ring. But God didn't say he was going to give him a ring. He didn't say he was going to give him a cylinder. God said he's going to make him like a seal.
Yes.
When you got God's seal, when you have God's seal of approval, that's all you need. That's all that you need. So on this 24th day of the ninth month, the final sermon by Haggai is preached. And this is sermon number 4. 4 sermons in 3 months. And I move to my ending. Help me, Lord. It's not by happenstance. It's not by coincidence that the Lord has Trinity concluding this book not much more than a week before. It's his grand and glorious day, his Ebenezer day of celebration of 101 years. Of his presence, of his sealing, of his loving kindness, of his tender mercy, of him pulling out preachers. Probably more preachers have come out of that little church than any church I can think of. And these last 2 sermons, and I hope Pastor Nate is hearing what God has to say to him. And I'm praying that all pastors and that preachers are hearing what God has to say to all. These last 2 sermons were to the priest and to the governor, the administrator, all pastors. In this day and age, the prophet and the priest were separate entities then. The administrator was a separate entity then. Now that's not the case. All pastors are not only the prophets. Word prophet or prophesy simply means to speak the word of God. We have the total word of God in our Holy Bible. So every time the preacher preaches, the pastor preaches, he is prophesying. The priest was there to teach and instruct the people and to go to God on behalf of the people. Every pastor is a priest. We're, in fact, a nation of priests, but pastors are that special gift and that special anointing of priesthood. And lastly, every pastor is an administrator. in the discipline of the AME Zion Church. That's crystal clear because the pastor is ex officio of every ministry in the house. Amen. So God's anointing is on the pastor in prophecy. God's anointing is on the pastor in priesthood. God's anointing is on the pastor in administration. And we better take note, saints of God. Just as God instructed and Haggai had the wisdom to not get into another brother's lane and to yield to the responsibilities of the priest, nothing has changed in that regard. The only thing that's changed now is all three roles are housed in one entity. And that's why God gave the New Testament church a pastor. The pastor is the prophet. The pastor is the priest. And the pastor is the administrator. And one last thing. I don't know what Haggai knew or what he didn't know. But even with his bank of knowledge, he thought it not robbery to go and ask someone's counsel whose responsibility it was to give that counsel. So I don't care how astute you are at home in reading your Bible and how well you think your understanding is, you are being foolish if you don't consult your pastor about the word and the will of God. And I can say that because I was that kind of foolish person at one time in my life, and I won't bore you with my own personal testimony, but God had to whip me and let me know, you can't pastor yourself. So this marvelous book, pour yourself into it, saints, Haggai. It's a marvelous book. It'll set you on fire. It will teach you. I'll probably still be laboring with Haggai for another few months or so because I couldn't begin to cover all that God is saying and doing in here. But Trinity, God loves you because he has those who are part of the whoever will. He brought this book to us so that we could be timely and appropriately timely to this marvelous anniversary coming forth. And we could be excited, we could be exuberant, and we could be zealous about what God is going to do from this day forward. I love you. Jesus love. Amen.
Praise the Lord. What a time we have had in the book of Haggai. Thank you so much, Reverend Hickey, for taking us on this journey. And just as you stated, I pray that we continue to wrestle with the concepts of this book that we may bring fruit. This is not happenstance, coincidence. This is a divinely ordered study that's intended to bring fruit in this season. We thank you so much, sir, for your investment into us. I'm going to ask if you will, because the anointing of God is yet on you, will you close us out in prayer?
Be delighted. Lord, I humbly pray like the prophets of old. I pray, Lord, that we'll come to a better understanding of you. And if we come to a better understanding of you, we'll come to a better understanding of holiness. Yes. I'm praying, Lord, that in our sanctification, that we'll, Holy Spirit, we'll let you speed up the process. Yes. We know it's a process, Lord, but times, you are shaking the earth and times are critical. Lord, speed up our sanctified walk, Lord, so that we can be more usable by you and we can be a witness, disciple makers to more and more people, Lord, because the times are changing and quickening and you're shaking the earth. I'm praying, Lord, that just like our forebears in Jerusalem in 520 BC, that we'll have ears of hearing, not ears for tickling and what pleases us and what causes us to be more concerned about us than others. But we'll have ears that want us to be closer and in better enhanced relationships with you and with one another. We want to your holiness in us, Lord, to make us demonstrate the you that's in us and the us that is in you. We want the holiness that is you in us and us in you, Lord, to make us more unified so that we can bring glory to your name. Lord, we just want to glorify you and to enjoy you forever. So, Lord, we thank you that you love us enough, that you would stoop down, that you would condescend even to deal with filthy rags like us. But, Lord, that's just who you are, because in your holiness and in your love and in your grace and in your mercy, you just are beyond our understanding. And to the level that we understand, we say thank you. And that we don't, we're still just grateful. So today, Lord, all who have been within your hearing, Lord, let us all be hearers and of the word and increased, enhanced doers. Yes. That our obedience will be pleasing to you, and our obedience will give testimony that you really and truly are in us and that we are in you. And Lord, please help us.
Yes.
We are hungering for holiness, Lord. Yes. Help us, Lord.
Yes.
Help us.
Yes.
Yes, Lord. To be holy.
Yes.
Amen.